begin. Everybody say, let's begin. Let's learn. Okay, let's learn. We're up to over here. Mizmor Samach Aleph. Yamim al Yimei Melech Tosef. The famous, famous pasuk. Rav Chaim Kanievsky wants to ask someone the question, why is it that every time I go to a chasna, I go to a simcha, they always play the same nigun? Don't they have anything else to play? Understand? When he walked into a chasna, the band immediately began to play. He began to play Yamim al Yimei Melech Tosef. So they stopped whatever they were playing and they played that nigun. That's the nigun they play for the Gedolei Yisrael. So Rav Chaim didn't chap that they're playing this nigun, maybe he did, I don't know. They're playing this nigun in his honor. So every time he goes somewhere, they only play one nigun. Klal Yisrael has one nigun. What happened to all of the other nigunim? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Diyeh B'Dvaroi. Okay, let's learn. Mizmor. What?
David
Melech
learned in Lakewood.
He learned in Lakewood. You know what he said? David Melech, he learned in Lakewood. So that's why he knew the song. The pasuk. Okay, let's learn. Ki ata Elokim. The truth is, this song really originated in Eretz Yisrael. It originated in Eretz Yisrael. And Lakewood, they stole it from Eretz Yisrael. Ki ata Elokim shomata lin doroi. You Hashem, you have listened. You have listened to my vows. Nasata Yerushas. You have given a inheritance. Yirei Shemecha. Nasata Yerushas Yirei Shemecha. Yamim, what is the Yerusha you've given? Let's read the Pesachim. Yamim, days, al yimei melech toisef. May you add days to the days of the king.
Long live the king.
Long live the king. It's true. The Lachor comes from Shinoisav, his years kmo, should be dor vodar. If you really look at the Pesachim literally, word for word, it's almost impossible to translate literally. You have to embellish this pasuk with different words. Obviously, there is a concept of days and a concept of years. Okay, we're going to see in a second. Pasuk has a lot to say about this. Pasuk has Yeshev Olam Lufnei Elokim. May the king Yeshev. May he dwell forever. Lufnei Elokim. That's going further. That they don't sing before the Gedolah. They only sing about days and about years. Forever? No. No one wants the same leader forever. Notice that the pasuk Zion says days, and then it says years, and then Ches says Yeshev Olam Lifnei Elokim. That's not part of the song. No one's asking. No one's singing in front of their Rosh Yeshiva that he should be the Rosh Yeshiva forever.
Wow.
Okay. For years, for days and years, but not forever. Here it says, "Oylam Yeshev Oylam Lufnei Elokim, Chesed VeEmes Man Yinitziruhu." Man means who? Man means monhu. What is this? Or man means food. Okay, we're gonna see all this right now. Let us analyze these three psukim today. Let's do the next pasuk. Only one more pasuk. I'll finish the mizmar pasuk test. Kain Azamra Shimcha La'ar, I will sing your name forever. L'shalmi Nidorai Yom Yom, those L'shalmi, to those L'shalmi Nidorai Yom. You have to see every word with more precision in the Mitzudai Stavit. Let's do the first Machzor, the first round. On page 532 in Pasik Vav, Shamata. Me oylam shamata lin doroy asher nodatim es hilochamim mul ha'oyaviv. David is now reminiscing about the past. David says that it's always been from time immemorial. Whenever I dive into you, Hashem, you always listen to my prayers. Again, this is a technique that David employs numerous times in Sefer Tehillim. Is when David has tsar, David says, I have a difficulty. Did I ever have this before in my life? And the answer is yes. I had the same situation that happened before, and I survived. And the same way I survived then, I'm going to survive now. What did I do then to survive? I davened. Did Hashem answer my prayers? Yes, He did. And when you look back, sometimes you don't see Hashem is very humble. Hashem doesn't openly show how He answers your prayers. But if you look, if you really look back and analyze, you realize that things that really, really were bothering you, somehow they worked out in a way that is improbable. And most people don't even appreciate and even realize how improbable it was to ultimately overcome a difficulty against all statistics, and Hashem does in such a way where you don't even realize what a miracle was, how you got through the difficulty. David is, that's why a diary is an amazing, amazing thing. No one writes today altogether, unless you're getting a lot of money to write a book. But you know, used to be in the olden days, people had diaries, and it's and now it's never been easier to have a diary because you have a phone. So they have incredible apps. The apps available to a diary. I once spent time on this, going through different apps about a diary. It's just remarkable what's available out there to really give life to your diary. And if a person would go back and study what's bothering you, a person would write down on the diary the night before he goes, things that are right now really, really bothering me. And then go back and carefully read your diary day after day, and then think about it. And it's just miraculous how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what Hashem does for us.
Well, you see that a lot is the Abarbanel's gracious. A lot of the events of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but especially Yosef, what went on in his life as the king, you could see what he's talking about is from personal experience. And he says in Hakdamas a lot of times where he made mistakes in life. He actually says, I put my eggs in one basket. I thought they would never throw me out.
Who, the Abarbanel, right?
He says, I never believed they would throw me out of Spain.
Mm-hmm.
What are these nidorim?
It means like noidrin be'eis tzara. Noidrin, it means that David was in difficult situations. Yaakov Avinu, he heard that Esav is coming to get him. Esav is coming to get him, and what the Yidor Yaakov Neder Liman? Where is he going now? He's going to Lavan Harami. Lavan Harami had a reputation as swallowing up anyone that comes in his Dalet Amos. He would devour. And Yaakov here is coming to marry his daughter, and he's going to work for him for 20 years. And in every moment of the day, Lavan Avinu was trying to destroy Yaakov Avinu's Yiddishkeit, okay, if you want to use that word. And it was a tzara. He was caught between a rock and a hard place. So what do you do when you're in a tzara? What do you do in the time of tzara? Yaakov Avinu was caught between a rock and a hard place. Going back to Canaan, he would be killed in an instant by Esav. Going to Lavan, he's going to be, his ruchnius is going to be threatened like never before. What Lavan's going to want to do to him? So where do I go? I can't stay in the middle. I can't starve to death. I got to go either back to Yaakov, to Yitzchak, but they told me to leave. And there it's a sakana. I'm going to get killed. Esav wants to kill me. If I go to Lavan, Lavan's also going to kill me. What do I do? I'm in an Esav. So what did Yaakov Avinu do? Vayidor Yaakov neder leimar im yiye elokim imodi ushmarani baderech hazeh asher anochi holech v'nasni lechem lechel v'gulush v'chulu v'chulu v'shavtil beis avi and v'ha'even hazois asher samti ma'atzivah yiye beis elokim v'chul asher titin li asher asher nalach. He made a neder. Rashi in Chumash. Mikan, what? Vayidar.
One neder.
One neder, fine, one neder.
Keep saying in various places.
He had a lot of tzaras.
Twice here, and we say in Halo, right?
Okay. It's not a problem. It's not a problem.
What are all these
Nedarim? Vayidar Yaakov Neder. Yes. That's what I'm saying. What does Rashi say? Mikan Shenoidrin Be'ez Tzara. When a person is in a difficult situation, the proper thing to do is to make a vow. Hashem, I'll make a deal. Let's make a deal. If you help me, I will do something that ordinarily I would not do. I will give up of my time and money to devote myself to your service. I was planning to retire, to go down to Florida and relax, sit by the beach and read some books and have a good time. Hashem, if you help me through this sorrow, I'm not going to retire in Florida. I'm going to go door to door, knock on people's doors, and ask them, did you put on tefillin today? Do you want to learn about Shabbos? Do you know that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam in this world? I am going to work for you. I'm going to give up of my own benefit, my own money, and work for you. Yaakov, and that comes in the form of many different types of nedarim, that you're going to do something l'shem Hashem, to give up from your comfort l'shem Hashem. Vayidar Yaakov neder lemor mikan shenoidrin be'es tzara. So if David HaMelech over here says, ki ato lekim shamata lin doroi, why did David make a neder? Doesn't it say in the Koheles, toiv asher lo tidar mishetidar v'seshalem? So what are you making a neder? There's one exception. When it says Toiv Asher Lo Tidar is when everything is fine and good. When everything is fine and good, who asks you to make a neder? Who asks you? Who says you're going to be true to your neder? But if it's an ace tzara, then that pasuk does not apply. Everyone says that. The pasuk that says Toiv Asher Lo Tidar is not discussing an ace tzara. That's discussing the good times. When everything is wonderful, don't make nedarim, just do. You want to go give money? Give money. You give money? They're making an appeal for a worthy cause on Shabbos HaGadol. So you come to shul with a suitcase of cash. Ah, oh, it's muksa. Rabbi, you want the money or you don't want the money? Like Rafayevsky? I heard you're making an appeal today. I brought a suitcase. You know how much money is in the suitcase? You want to? It's muksa. It's muksa. Rabbi, you don't want the money? You trying to tell me I should take the suitcase home?
No, it's muksa. Leave it here. With a very famous case in Baltimore many, many years ago, and where a person, he wasn't from, and he had to get him leave, he took the money, and he gave it to them on Shabbos, and the guy said, put it over here.
Put it in the pushka.
From Schwartz, he's my wife's great grandfather.
A whole big tumble
about that.
Okay, so he goes. So Vayidar, this halach of don't make a neder is only when everything is fine and good. When it's an ace tzara, you give the money right now and here. I'm sure that it must be that during the Vat Hatzala, when they were running around in Manhattan trying to save, to raise money, to commit every possible crime of money laundering and bribery, and literally they broke every single, they couldn't care less. They're trying to save Jewish lives. And they went and they did everything they can. Rav Aaron Kotler and all the Irving Bunim and all the many Gedolei Yisrael, when they found out what's going on, when they knew what was going on there and in Europe, and they went on Shabbos in cars from shul to shul. I'm assuming that they would actually ask the people on Shabbos to sign the check, just like we went in a car and we were mechal Shabbos to come here to save someone's life. You can be mechal Shabbos and go home and write out a check right now, so we can go and we'll be able to give some bribes to save someone's life. There's a time when you have to be scrupulously honest, squeaky clean, not even a shemetz of a mashahu of anything that is dishonest, din de malchus adina. And then there's a time when you break every single law. You literally have to, and when you know what to do, you really need to be mamish ruach hakodesh to know what to do and when to do it. Okay, there are people that were honest beyond belief. And then during Corona, when it was already, you know, different, there were different tekufas, and like all of a sudden they were basically in violation of all the, you know, and I'm not talking about in the beginning, like towards the end, it's like you have to really have Ruach HaKodesh to know when, what is the right thing to do. Derech Klal, of course, you have to be Chil Hashem and MS, this week's parasha, this week's haftarah, Hinei Anoichi Shalech Lechem Eis Eliyo HaNavi, Eliyohu's Tafkid is MS. Okay, so let's go further over here. So Michal, the answer...
He's talking about Nedarim, many Nedarim.
Right, that's what Michal pointed out, only one...
In Halel, he says, Nedarim Lashem Ashalem Negdana Lechol Adim. Not between me. Everybody would say,
I paid my Nedarim. Negdana Lechol Adim, the whole Klal Yisrael. But you're right, it says here Lashon Rabbim, which I'm trying to suggest, it means David had many tzaras. David did not just have one tzara. Yaakov was faced at that time with one tzara. He was a bachur. He had a problem of survival, either going Esav mitzad echad, and mitzad sheni was Lavan. Mikan noidrin b'shal be'es tzara. Yet David had many tzaras. Memela, he offered many. He made many vows, and David said, "Guess what? It worked. It worked. All of the vows I made worked. I survived. So therefore, I can try it again. I know that it works. It's been time tested." Nachem Olde Mitzudas David Shamata Mi Oyolam Shamata Lindoroy Asher Nadata Beis Hilachami Mul Hoyev Ki Niskabel Beratzayin Venosato Eretz Oyev Lios Yerushas Yisrael. Now he's adding words over here because he really these words he really spoke them extremely difficult, and if you don't know the words, it's not going to make sense. Ki Ato Lekim Shamata Lindoroy Kama, and you've listened to me. You have to add that word. You've listened to me. You've accepted them. How do I know that you have accepted them? Because you've given me success. Nosata, you've given, the Mitzvah stands in Eretz Ho'oyev. He's adding words here. Nosata, Eretz Ho'oyev, the land of the enemy.
So he's being specific.
Yes. At least according to the Mitzvah.
As opposed to the eternal enemies.
Correct. At least according to the Mitzvah, right. David. And you're guaranteed to have a disagreement on this and find many commentators that will tell you many other interpretations. The more abstract the pasuk is, the more it's open for interpretation. And here, it's an extremely abstract pasuk, and the Mitzvot David is giving you, he had the advantage of having read, having seen probably everything on the page, I would imagine. Not the Malbim, but probably everything else besides the Malbim, he possibly saw everything. Certainly the Mamar Chazal, certainly Rashi and the Radak and the Ibn Ezra and a whole other list of Rishonim. So when he has a very good advantage. That's why it's so popular. When he tells you a pshat, he's being machriya in his interpretation. You don't have to accept this interpretation. You know, you do whatever you want. Is that he feels that this is a mahalich that is legitimate and is satisfying the pshat and the pasuk. Obviously, different strokes for different folks. K'shem she'in part sufeim shavas kach ein day oisem shavas. When you learn the pasuk, good morning, Rabbi King. When you learn the pasuk, good morning.
All rise.
The king is here. Correct. I stand for you.
The rabbi is better than the king.
Not necessarily. Let's go. Because over here,
the king can't give a bracha, you can.
The king could also give a bracha. He gave a beautiful bracha to Klal Yisrael. Yeah. Every person, you don't know, Rabbi said, you don't know who gives a bracha. You really don't know who. You think you go to a big grois rebbe, you get a bracha. You'd be shocked. The koyach of ordinary people, ordinary simple people, can be sometimes so potent.
Well, that's what the Gemara says. Exactly. But who is the Berchus Hedyot at that time? Who does the Gemara say it on? Rabbi Shmuel. He's the Hedyot.
Rabbi Shmuel.
He was being Meshaveh at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he said, don't make light of me.
There's a Mesorah that they know there are certain people that have a Mesorah of L'Chayach HaBracha. Even if they're not Talmidei Chachamim. Even if they're not, you know, you're not the greatest. They zuchus, whatever, however it works, it's in their line that their brachas are effective. Now, how does that work, b'chlal? If you don't deserve a bracha, a person that's an avarian, you go to a rabbi and he gives you a bracha, oh, magic? That's not Judaism. Judaism is earn your own keep. Okay, I don't know how it works, but there's some type of balance, there's some type of connection, whatever it is. Let's go further over here. So here we have over here in this puzzle over here.
If you feel that a bracha is going to help you, then you have a different mindset. You know, it's like not to say you don't care, but if you care, then you possibly do something to earn that bracha.
Okay, that's complicated. It's very complicated.
Saying, but it's a psychological effect.
People by in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know now, but the year, I mean, with Chaim Kanievsky, the people, they lined up for dear life to receive a buhu, bracha v'hatzlacha, bracha v'hatzlacha. I mean, what's it all about? How does that work? I once read, I don't know if it's true, everything you really wonder now, it's true, not true, you know, true. If someone once asked Rav Chaim, what's going on? They give brachas. So Rav Chaim said to him, you know, he told him, it doesn't do anything. It's meaningless. But this is what the people that give, makes them happy. So this is what makes you happy, so I'll give you a bracha. Do I really believe that my brachas are going to make a difference? I don't believe it. I'm not convinced that even such a thing really even works. You got to earn your own keep. But if these people, they come, they want a bracha, it makes them happy, they go home. They're happy? No, they're happy. So I should go. You know, I tell you, you don't know, most people don't get any attention in this world. Most people, they're very, you know, they're deprived of attention. No one's going to listen to them, no one talks to them. And you can imagine, someone just says one little word. It, I once had the experience, a certain person, I see him very often, he's known to be a very hush of a person. I never said one word to him. Never. Not that I remember. And, you know, I see him, I'm in contact in his vicinity for years. And one day, I was just like, he was just passing by, and he picked up his hand and he waved to me. I felt so good. I felt like, wow, he acknowledged me. Wow, he recognized me. I felt so, what did he do? He just like waved to me. Like, oh, I know you, I recognize you, I see you around. Like wow, it really made an impression on me. And I thought to myself, it's like, it's amazing, you know, the mind is so delicate, so sensitive. Most people, some people, they're very blessed, and they're big rabbanim, and the phone is ringing off the hook. Or they're very wealthy, and everyone's coming, give us money. You know, when a collector comes to a big gevir and give me money, you know, it's an annoyance. But you don't realize, it's like, you know, you're getting attention. People, Baruch Hashem, they have a lot of children, they have a big family. Even if their children call up and say, Dad, I need money. You know, it makes you feel good. I have a purpose here, you know. Someone calls me up. But most people in this world get no attention. No one even looks at them. No one, and someone to give you a little bit of attention, you don't realize what it does for you. There's certain people, I've heard once, they get an aliyah probably every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks, maybe even every week. Because well, he's one of those, a Kohen. And like he said to me, then the guy, someone comes, he wants an aliyah, complains, he gets an aliyah. And he said to me, I don't understand, what does it really mean so much to me to get an aliyah? Guy's complaining to me, he hasn't gotten an aliyah in 6 months. What do you really need this? You really want, I remember this, it was his birthday, yeah. And he went and he can I please get an aliyah? He really wanted an aliyah very much. And the person who was like, okay, I'll give it, but like he said to me, what does it mean so much to him to get an aliyah? Excuse me, you get an aliyah every single week. I mean, like, you can't relate. You really can't relate to this, what it's like. Now, how do we get into this? I don't know how we got into, we're getting the bracha. We got into this. Let's get back onto the topic. I want to do some material over here. So the Mitzudas David is Nasata Yerushas Yirei Shmecha. The Mitzudas David injects many words into this pasuk. And he says, "Ki niskabel v'rotzev nasata." You've given eretz oyev liyos. You've given the territory of the enemy liyos yirushas, an inheritance Yisrael. Yirei shemecha. The Jewish people are called the Yirei shemecha. Okay, that's a beautiful statement. Klal Yisrael. This is Haftara. V'arva l'Hashem min chasidu v'shem k'mil v'shem k'miyos. This Haftara, I believe, is the most beautiful Haftarah of all the Haftarahs. It is the most powerful Haftarah. The Psukim there are the harshest Musar in the entire Torah, and the most beautiful Nechama.
It's the last Nevuah.
It's the last Nevuah, yeah?
Well, this is it. It's Malachi. It's the last Perek in Malachi. It's the last Nevuah.
Okay.
That's why it's saying, Zichru Toras Moshe, Hinei Anokhi Sholeach Lachem. This is the end.
This is the end. This is the sign-off.
And where is the remez for that? Because who said it, Malachi? In Parashas Kisisa, what happens after the ego? God says to Moshe, Hinei Malachi Yelech
Lachem. Ah, Malachi.
Right.
Very nice. This is Malachi, the prophet of the Haftarah is Malachi.
Right.
Malachi, and he Malachi is referring to the Navi Malachi. Wow, I like that. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so Yerushas Yisrael Yirei Shemech. Okay, so this is, we read the pasuk again, Kiyat Elokim Shematen Lindoroi. You listen to my vows, meaning I'm injecting interpretation that you have saved me from my tzoros. Because every time I had a tzora, what did I do? Mikan noidrin be'ez tzora. And you've granted me success. Nasata, you have granted, what have you given? Mitzudas, you've granted the land. Eretz Yisrael, the territory of the enemy, as a Yerushas, an inheritance. Add more words to Klal Yisrael. Who is Klal Yisrael? Klal Yisrael are defined by the term the Yirei Shemecha. Pasuk Zayin. Yamim, we now welcome to the Ulam HaBeis Medrash, the Rosh HaYeshiva. Yamim al Yimei Melech Toisef. Mitzudas Yamim, Lozeh, therefore, Gam Ata, now, Shemali, okay, so going back, we're employing the principle of, just like in the past, you've come through for me. The past is an inspiration for the future. Yamim loze gam ata shema li v'soysif yamim al hayamim shani bohem ata v'loy amus biyad koyev. So even though we've so hear these words as a song so many times, it's kedai to understand the context, the true context, the pshuta shel mikra of this pasuk. Rabbi Shulman, good morning. Good Erev Shabbos. Atzloch rabo on your Shabbos hagodol drasha. Tomorrow. Yamim al Yimei Melech Toisef. So what is over here? Says Mazel Tov. Yam al Yimei Melech Toisef. V'loy v'shma v'ata shmali v'tzitli yam al Yom shani b'chem ata. David is asking Hashem for longevity. That now when I'm faced with an ace tzara, according to what we learned in the support on the Mizma, that David's now fighting a war in Aram, and his life is threatened, He's asking Hashem to come to his aid and to protect him. V'loy amus b'yad o'yev. Ushnoi sai, my years, yiyu kishnei kol hadoros, I shall live a regular life, v'heim shivim shana. Today, 100 is the new 60. So 120 is the new 70. We have new math today. But David says, let me live at least 70 years old. At least 70 years old, like, what does the pasuk say? Out of context, I always can't memorize anything. Shivim Shana. It says in the pasuk.
V'migvuro
Shivim Shana. How does the pasuk begin? Yimei Shinoiseyem Bohem Shivim Shana. So the Yimei Shinoiseinu Bohem. Yeah, why?
Because who wrote it?
David. Oh, wait, who wrote it? Moshe, yeah.
Speculate that Moshe.
Tefillah LeMoshe.
No,
yeah.
I mean, still, it's about Moshe. Tefillah LeMoshe.
Mm-hmm.
So at 70, he was, very good. But by 80, worse. In Pirkei Avos, it goes 90, 100.
So 80, so he just got started
80,
then.
He got started at 80. Then big worse.
Teretz is, you finish when you become take on leadership.
In my shul, when I first started, they liked that because everybody was 80.
Yeah. And we see that people live longer than that.
Yes.
So he said, he doesn't say Yemesh Noteinu Shivim Shana. Yemesh Noteinu Bahem.
Bahem, okay.
Only the ones that count.
Uh-huh.
Up to 13, you're not mitzvah. You're not bar mitzvah.
When do you start?
You can count another 13 years.
Uh-huh. 83, second bar mitzvah.
When I saw the Ketubot, I said, it's very nice. How do you know it? And I saw a pasuk before that. It says, Kilinu Shnateinu Kemo Hege. What's the gematria of Hege? 13.
Ah. So you first start when you're 13 years old.
That's the pasuk before the Mer Shnateinu Kemo Hege. So that's So that's why people live more, you know, 90. And some Baal Shuva asked me once, what about me? And I said, when did you become Baal Shuva? He said, I was about 20 years old.
So that's when you start.
Long time.
You can say about everyone renews themselves. Okay, let's go further. V'heim shiv m'shon me'melech me'al atzmei amar v'chein ki ein ha'melechu yuchal eschem v'tzidki amar al atzmei. So David over here is describing himself, and David over here is saying over here is that he's praying for himself. I am in danger. I am in mortal danger, and I'm begging you, Hashem, Yomim, al Yimei Melech. David over here is shocking that David refers to himself as the Melech. Okay, weird about humility. Okay, Melech Yomim al Yimei Melech. One of the President of the United States' jokes. I'm not going to even say his name is. Every time he says, every time I heard there's a clip from him saying different places, at least twice, maybe more. You know, I go to these events, and they start playing "Hail to the Chief," and I say to myself, "No, when is the president going to come already?" He's saying it as a joke. It ain't no joke. Yavim al Yimei Melech. So David over here is saying it. David is saying this about. He's calling himself the Melech. We have here a Melech here in the room over here. You came on the right day. You came here on the right day, King. V'tzidka amatzai. Okay, next pasuches. Lifnei Elokim b'veis hamigdash. David is saying here the concept. Achash shalti mi'es Hashem oisavake shivti b'veis Hashem kol yimei chayoi. He's saying over here in Pasuk Ches, what do I want to do with my life after I grow up? Yeshev Oilam Lifnei Elokim. I want to spend my time in the Beis Hamikdash. Lifnei Elokim Beis Hamikdash. Mikol Leches Mibli Leches Le'eretz Ha'amim Lilochim Bam. I'm not interested in fighting wars. What is the goal? What is the goal of all this? What's the goal to make all this money? The goal to conquer, to succeed. The goal is to spend my days in the Beis Hamikdash. Next pasuk, Chesed ve'emes, Chastei Hamokim va'amitas haftachosai, the kindness of Hashem and the emes of Hashem's fulfillment of His promises. Yiyeh, and here is how the Mitzudeh David translates these very difficult words. He ends with Yiyeh. Okay, he doesn't say that in the pasuk. He translates the word man as prepared. Prepared. Yiyeh mizumon should be prepared. The kindness and the emes of Hashem should be prepared, should for l'shamroi min ha'oyev mibli milchama. Yin tziruhu should guard him. What's the exact translation? The grammatical form, Yintziruhu should guard him, right? Yintziruhu should guard him. The kindness and the emes of Hashem, man, should now be prepared, should be put into motion, should be unsheathed from its location, should be uncovered and be put in, become active in making sure Yintziruhu, that the king is guarded. The king is protected. Who is the king, by the way? I'm the king. It happens to be that I am the one who occupies the seat, the kise of Malchus. So we read this. So these two psukim, let's read one more pasuk, and then we'll just translate them very similar time. Pasuk test on the next page. And this is David, Cain as Cain returned to Lamar, Kamosh ani mezamer kasher anatzach hamulchama. Just like I sing when I prevail in war. Kain azamer lo ad, I will sing forever. Kasha lo tavoy olay milchama klal. Look at that. Just like when I'm victorious in battle, there's a ticker tape parade. a ticker tape parade for being for winning a battle, we're going to have a ticker tape parade for no battle, for negotiating, for making peace, and not having to go to war. Could you imagine when the soldiers come back from war, they have for them a celebration, a ticker tape parade. Wow, look at that, you amenatzech, you conquered. You know something? Negotiate peace and use diplomacy, and then we'll make a ticker tape parade for not having to go to war and suffering and suffering and losing and v'chulu v'chulu. I will Cain, I will sing Shimcha Lo'ad forever. L'shalmi nidarai yom yom. Now he's in the next words of the Mitzvah Stav. L'shalmi be'es ashalem nidarai b'chol yom. When I fulfill my vows every single day, azam I will sing oz l'shimcha. Kimutov li lidar nidarim b'chol yom al shaloi bo'o olai hamolchama. Milidar, making a vow, be esamul chama she'enotzel mino oyev ulinatzech oso, then bring a carbon toida. See, this is very good for this week's parasha. A carbon toida, a carbon, this really explains a neder oy nedava, im neder oy nedava. In parashas, this week's parasha, mamash the yoni yoma, parashas saf, third aliyah. The third aliyah, I was zecha to learn with Reb Lezer. In the afternoon, we learned the third aliyah in Rashi and Unkelis, and the third aliyah begins with the Karbon Toida. And then after the Karbon Toida, it talks about bringing a neder or a nedava. And basically, it's the same thing. The animal, the zevach, is the same thing. The only question is, what do you bring with it? It's the same Karbon. A Karbon Toida is a Karbon Shlomim. There's no difference between the Karbon Toida and the Karbon Shlomim. The only difference is the breads that you bring that accompany the Karbon. And there are halachas. I shouldn't say there are differences. I take that back. But the pasuk calls the carbon toida the carbon shlamim, and the carbon shlamim, the pasuk says a neder oy nidava. Obviously, there are many times when you have an obligation to bring a carbon shlamim. Different situations. Mesechta nazir. Okay, when you mashlim, you finish the nazirus, you bring a carbon shlamim. So there are definitely times. When you bring a carbon shlamim b'chayva, but you can bring a neder or nedava. What is the chilik between a neder nedava and a carbon toid if they're both called a carbon shlamim? The answer is you only bring a toida if you survive a tzara. A neder is the same exact carbon that you bring in advance that there should not be a tzara. That you should not need to be imprisoned and escape and then bring your carbon shlomim. Adarab, let me bring my carbon shlomim in advance and that will save me from the need of being captured and then being released. Or having to travel the Yam and the Midbar and being sick and being healed. It's in advance. Tefillah koidem the tzara. And when you learn this mitzvah and this pasuk, it really opens up a whole new world of interpretation and appreciation of the third aliyah in this week's parasha, Parasha Saf. It begins by speaking about a carbon shlomim. And then it says, what kind of carbon shlomim do we bring? We bring two different types. Either you bring a toida, im al toida yakrivenu, and then the next psukim talk about v'im neder oy nedava. What's going on over here? First of all, how come the pasuk doesn't talk about a carbon shlomim as an obligation? When the Torah reveals all of the laws of a carbon shlomim, it only reveals it in this week's parasha in terms of a vow, a voluntary offering. And the answer is because the carbon neder in this week's parasha is coming to accomplish exactly the same thing as the carbon toida. Only difference is in advance, the same thing. A person, we don't know how these things work, but person in this world comes into this world and he doesn't come, there's no free lunch. There are nisyonos in this world. So either he can go through the nisyon and survive with emuna and tefillah, v'chulu v'chulu, and then you'll bring your carbon toida, you'll bring your carbon shlamim. But if you're smart, bring your carbon toida in advance. And that way you won't have to go through the difficult situation. How do you know that's the pshat in this parasha, in the sequence of psukim? Because of this rash, this mitzvah, this pasuk. Here he says of a Cain, what's Cain? I will do the zelbazach. Instead of me surviving and then thanking you and fulfilling my and bringing a thank you gift, a toida, which is a carbon shlamim, you know what? I might as well give you the carbon toida in advance, a shlamim in advance, and that way I'll make a neder or nedava, a neder nedava. I'll bring it, and that way I won't need to go through the mulchama and come close to dying and be terrified and suffering the collateral damage that comes along with going through difficult matzavim in life. We'll treat the mitzvahs one more time. It's a very incredible hashkacha pratis to read this mitzvahs David, his interpretation on this pasuk, on the Erev Shabbos Parshas Tzav. When they lay in the third Ali, you'll see exactly what I mean. Here it's, one more time, over here, look at this, the word in the L'shal, I read the whole pasuk again. Pasuk test in the mitzvahs of it. Cain, return leimar. Whenever he says return leimar, means you have to really appreciate the depth of what it means over here. Kimoy, shani mezamer. Just like I sing, kasher anatzach hamilchama. When I prevail, when I'm victorious in war, Cain, likewise, azamer, I will sing lo'ad. I will sing forever. Kasher loy tovoy olai milchama klal. L'shalmi, I will pay be'es at the time ashalem nidarai b'chol yoim. What does this mean? Azamer oz l'shimcha. I will sing to your name. Kimutuvli, it's much better for me. Lidar nidarim im neder oy nidava. Right? That's how that's what comes right after the carbon toida. It's better li lidar nidarim b'chol yoim. Why would I make a neder every single day? You're not allowed to make a neder stam azoy, but there's a purpose. You can make a neder al sheloy bo olay hamilchama, so that the milchama should not come upon me. That's be much better. Then mi lidar, then have to make a vow when I'm in the middle of war and I'm about to die. And it's curtains. I'm saying Shema Yisrael, and I say, "I'll give you one more chance. I'll give you one more chance. Save me. And if you'll save me, I'll bring a carbon." Okay, this is called a tefila kodem litzara. Where does this come from? What's the makar? The makar is Avraham Avinu in Parashas Lech Lecha Chumash Rashi. Every single yisoid in Judaism is found in Chumash and Rashi. We should just learn Chumash Rashi the whole day, and we would be safe. We would be very, very safe. Because only we spent a little bit more time with Chumash and Rashi, we would be very good shape. When Avraham, Hashem to Avraham, Lech Lecha, Me'artzcha, Me'muladcha, Me'savicha, Me'sharecha, and it says, Vayavar Avraham, and he came there, I don't remember the pasuk, he came to Ai. And Rashi says when he came to this, he passed by the territory of Ai. It could be there was no one even there. We don't know who was there at that moment in time, that territory. Avraham stopped and he prayed. Because Avraham at that moment saw Al-Piruach HaKodesh, the day would come when Klal Yisrael, they would enter into the land, the Eretz Yisrael, and they would come to this city Ai, and there will be a Mulchama, and at the end of the day, it says in the pasuk, 36 people died. Third, they lost. Who died? 36 people, it says in the pasuk, 36. And Rashi there also says, it doesn't mean 30, it seems only one person died. Asniel ben Kenaz, who was shokel, kineged, rubo shel Sanhedrin. And Rashi in Parashas Lech Lecha says, that you know what was really meant to happen at that time, when they came into Ai? Because of the chet of Ochan, he took from the spoils of Yerichai, the entire Klal Yisrael was meant to perish. And all of the haftachos out the window. Because the chait of Ochan was so great, it would have happened that the entire Klal Yisrael would have been wiped out in the second battle of Kibush Haaretz. And don't ask any kashas about Moshe Rabbeinu and Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov and the haftachos. That's life. There are no guarantees for nothing. And what happened? It is Avraham Avinu saw what was going to happen. He was mispalel. And it's only because of the tefilos of Avram Avinu, a tefila koidem litzara, did Klal Yisrael survive, and are we here today? We are here today only. A tefila koidem litzara. That's the makar, milchemes ay. Now, and it's frightening that the tefila koidem litzara did not achieve 100%. It achieved, we're still here today, but there was enormous collateral damage. Osniel ben Kenaz died. We have really no clue what Klal Yisrael would look like today had he lived. We have no clue. What would have been had he lived? We don't know. We have no idea. But the assumption is his influence, if he was Shakel Kneged, the majority of the Sanhedrin, the understanding is that it would have been a different Klal Yisrael today. Had he lived longer, had he been able to be Mashpi upon Klal Yisrael. That's the Emunah. So, but yet, and even Avraham was not able to do that, to save him, but he was able to save Klal Yisrael. Tzvila Koidem Litzar. Many commentators say that's why we dive in the Shmonesh.
Some people go to a hotel and they give a nice tip to the waiter before the meal and say there is more of that to come. Give us a good service.
I don't know if you can compare. I don't know. That's more of a... All right, that's a little bit different. I don't know if you could. There's such a principle, and many commentators say when you daven Shemona Esrei, you know, a person is presented with a challenge and a sign in life. Obviously, a person doesn't have parnasa. When it comes to Baruch Aleinu, Hashem Luchinu Sashana Hazos, you're going to daven with a lot of kavana. I once went to shul in a certain place, and after davening, I noticed a collection of people. They were saying v'yitin lecha in a place where they ordinarily don't, where they don't say v'yitin lecha. In the Yom Yisrael, they always say v'yitin lecha, but there was a shul in Lakewood where they don't say v'yitin lecha. And after that, there was people. They were sitting down. They were saying it. So someone said to me, "If you look around, you see who's saying it. These are people who don't have parnasa and are in a lot of trouble and are really, really being squeezed. Have a lot of." So they're saying, and now, were these people saying v'yitin lecha when everything was good, when the money was coming in? Not necessarily. So when a person, Rachman al-Islan, is in a lot of trouble, you really daven hard. But when things are good, no. But the truth is, davening when things are good, to a degree, it's like you're giving Hashem a loan. Tzvila, what goes around comes around. Everything in life is a gilgul hachozer. And if a person is misspelled with his entire heart, even when things are good, it is equivalent to a certain degree of, because everyone has nisyonis. It's the gilgul hachozer. Yeah?
There are people who give kiddush or give a ticket because they survive.
Okay, that's survival.
Then the next week, somebody else gives a ticket because nothing happens.
Okay, I never saw that. I never saw nothing happen. They're not going
to
say that.
Okay,
you know, people. I don't see people doing that. All right, whatever. People do. They're just generous. Tzila koidem litzara, and that's this week's parasha, Parasha Sav. There are two types of shlamim presented in the third ali of the parasha: the carbon toida, and then the regular. The carbon toida is called zevach shlamav. It's a shlamim, and then im neder oy nedava. The toida is where the person went through the experience and survived. And then it says, you know what? Im neder oy nedava, better give the carbon, the same carbon, in advance, and you won't need to even go through the experience. And because every experience, Rahman al-Utslan, has collateral damage, and it's not... That's the sequence of the connection between the toida can only be brought after something horrible happens. And then is neder nedava. Why do you have to wait for it to happen? Bring the carbon in advance so nothing should happen. Tzvila koidem litzara, and that's exactly what David here is saying in this pasuk, lefi the perish of the Mesudas David, Cain. Just like every time we start off over here in pasuk vav, ki at lekim shamata lindoroi, you've listened to you've accepted my nedarim, the nedarim that I've offered at the time of tzara, when I was in danger, I made a neder and I survived. Hashem, yom mal yimei melech taisef, shnoisa b'kumoi dar v'dar yeshev, olam lefnei elokim. You know what, Hashem? let me have a good life, and Cain Azamira, I'll sing to you the same songs, Shimchoload, Lishal Mi Nidurai Yoim Yoim. Every day I'll bring the same korbanos as a neder of a tefillah that there should not need to be a tzara, where then I'm going to have to make a neder be'eis tzara to get out of the tzara. I'll bring my nedarim in advance. This principle is being expressed by David explicitly here in this mizmor samach aleph from vav to tes, with the word Cain is the linchpin of what triggers this whole thing with the parish of the mitzvah, which says this mamish explicitly. Okay, let's take a look over here. Now Rashi, that was the first machzor. Okay, that's the first. Now we go to the second round of these psukim. Pasuk Rashi, Rashi page 532. Nosata, okay, pasuk vav Rashi. Nosata Yerushas Yirei Shemecha. Hechezarta Orei Yerushasam Al Yodi. You Hashem have restored the inheritance of the Jewish people through me. Now, interesting, when we learned before, in the Sipporto, this Mizmar was discussing a Mulchama against Aram. And Aram is not from the Zion, the seven nations of Canaan. Chorinat, it's not part of the... And we played with the idea that maybe this whole Mizmar was discussing Kibush Yochit. Aram is a big place. There are many parts of Aram. There's Aram Naharaim, Aram Tzoiva. And we know fluently in the Gemara, Aram Tzoiva is Kibush Yochit. And this was new territory that David annexed Eretz Yisrael. Rashi doesn't seem to say that, because Rashi over here makes this statement where it doesn't say anywhere in the pasuk. What does it say in the pasuk? He says over here hechazarta. What do you mean hechazarta? What is hechazarta? Maybe over here you're going to fight new territory that's not part of Eretz Yisrael, like the Sipurno says. No, he learns hechazarta orei Yerushasam. I guess maybe Rashi learned that the word Yerusha is not a word you can apply, according to Rashi's vocabulary, to territory that was not meant for us. Is Aram Tzoiva the Yerushas Klal Yisrael? L'chor not? It's not part of Eretz Yisrael. Kiba Shiochet. Hashem never promised this to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that we should now say that we're getting a Yerusha. It's not called a Yerusha. We took possession. So L'chor Rashi is dwelling upon the word Yerusha, which means it was given to us. Who gave it to us? Avraham, Hashem gave it to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and now we possess it, and now there were some wars where we maybe have lost a portion, and now David is fighting battles to take it back. Hechazar to Orei Yerushasam.
Because it says, you know, if you need more space, we have to ask Kulacha.
I'll warn you back, but it's not originally part of it, so that's not called Yerusha.
Right. It's not Yerusha, but it's, you know, you have a...
Right, so that's David, that's the Sipurno says. But Rashi here seems to say that it is a return, which means that this is our entitlement. Pasuk Zayin Yom Al Yimei Melech Toisef Im Nigzar Olai Lomus Bachur. If it was meant I should die young, Hoisef Yomim Al Yomai, Add days Yom Al Yomai Ad Shesh Noisai Yehu Shivim Shon should be 70 years. Kimoy Shnei the years Dor Vodor of every generation. The entitlement is 70 years. Now you hear about Mayor Apple, he once took me to Washington Cemetery, and he showed me a whole section of graves over here by McDonald Avenue, and he pointed out to me all the graves. Almost everyone there died in their 30s or 40s, about 100 years ago, even less. And like, it's shocking. Everyone here died 30, 40, they're 30, 40 years old. What? So... Something is wrong. Something is wrong. They say, today we have a longer life expectancy. In those days, everyone...
My grandfather is your side. He's buried over here by the Interboro.
1919. What did you say?
I just had my grandfather's yurt side.
Yes.
94 yurt side. He's buried over here near the Interboro. He got two.
How old was he when he died?
46.
46.
Are they all the same age? Or the same
whatever. When in your high school and they tell you about these things, they tell you, they make it sound in the secular, they say, the life expectancy, you know, what do you expect? They say in those days it was 30, 40, 50, you know, there's different ups and downs. ups and downs, depending on the generation. Some generations live very long, some live very short, depending on the... Every generation, this pasuk, the Chazal knew they're talking about a lot better than these secular books. Every generation, there's an entitlement. There's an entitlement to live 70 years. If Hashem puts you in this world, Hashem did not put you in this world to torture, that you should suffer. There is an entitlement to live 70 years. And if people are dying young, that is a problem. That is not something you just accept. That is, okay, in this generation, that is the life expectancy. That's not acceptable. David over here says, "Kimo shnois shnoisav kimo dor vodor." If it's meant for me to die as very young, Hashem add more days to my life that I live a regular life. And what is a regular life? As it says in Tehillim Moshe, is shivim shnois shnoisenu bohem shivim shana. It's not normal to die less than 70 years. Something is wrong. It's not something you accept. You don't accept, it's natural. Look at the Mitzvah again one more time. David says, one more time, Rashi here says, Yom im nigzar lai lamas bachor, hoisif yamim al yamai e days ad shesh naisayu shimshana, kimoish kimo shnei dar vadar. Okay. And the pasuches, I'll tell you one word on that in a second. Yeshev hamelech le'olam lefnei elokim, may the king sit forever. Wait, that's not 70 years. Forever is forever, unless you want to say that le'olam. What is called, is the word le'olam a relative term, or is the word le'olam an absolute term of forever? We know that in the Torah it says le'olam in the parish of Shemit and Yovel, and there Rashi le'olam means 50 years. V'zehu. Olam doesn't always mean in every single pasuk in Tanakh, it means forever. It doesn't mean that. Le'olam,
an eved, he just said that. Oh, okay.
So the word le'olam is a term which is defined based on its context. In this context, the word le'olam means 70. Because the previous pasuk says, in the parish of Shemit and Yovel,
term is used in reference to a person, it means a lifetime, right?
Well, it depends.
It refers to Hashem.
Even when it refers to people and slaves, there refers 50 years. In other words, the word is defined based on its context. Over here, David said, David's...
Always, when it's talking about a person, Le'olam Yehei Adam, etc.
In that context, it means his entire life. Le'olam, you're right. Le'olam means you're saying very good. It means the word le'olam l'cha'ora refers to time. But you do see some of the farshim say that the word le'olam doesn't always mean time. Maybe in Chazal, lashon chacham l'chud, it means no exceptions. It doesn't necessarily mean time. I remember seeing when it says le'olam, it means you never, ever, ever make an exception. In life, we're so used to the first rule is this is the rule. The second rule is, how does it go? The second rule is, there are no exceptions. The third rule is, except when there's an exception. The word lo'olam in Chazal, the word lo'olam, generally in Chumash Tanakh, it means it's a period of time. When Chazal used the word lo'olam, this is what I remember, can't tell you where I saw this in the Gemara, it means... It doesn't mean time. It means there is never, ever an exception to the rule.
What does ki le'olam chasdoi mean?
So what does it mean, talking that kind? It means there's never an exception. Maybe talking that concept.
Never.
Or it means le'olam means it means time. Whose time?
Yeah.
Whose time? Your time, Hashem's time? I don't know what it means over there exactly. It means we just translate it loosely forever. But you see, you get a flavor from Rashi and Chumash. Le'olam means le'yovel, le'olam shel yovel. The word in Chazal, when it says in the Gemara, rabbinic terminology, it means no exception whatsoever. The word le'olam is a very complicated word. We had a couple of times, is the word le'olam going forward or is the word le'olam going backwards? From time, we like to say, from time immemorial. When you say from time immemorial, we're not talking about the future. You're talking about the past going back to forever, going back to the beginning of creation. The word le'olam in some contexts means time, but not going forward. the time going backwards. The word lo'olam is a very abstract term, which depending on the context can mean many different things. Lo'olam comes from helam. It means hidden. Hidden also has another connotation. Words in Lashon HaKodesh are defined based on the context. In this context, you have to suggest that it means the number 70. Since David said, if I was meant to only live for a short amount of time, give me more time so that I can live a regular lifespan. David lived exactly 70 years. He was meant to live 3 hours. Who gave him those 70 years? Adam HaRishon. Probably every child knows this. He was meant to die, and that's why Adam only lived to 930, which also implies that man expires after 1,000. Is anyone here reaching 1,000? People expire after 1,000 years, and David gave up of his life 70 years to David. David was only meant to live, and this is what it says over here. When you say this pasuk that they sing in all the wedding halls and all the different events is a reference to Adam HaRishon and David. I was only meant to live for 3 hours, and add days to my life and years, I can live le'olam. Le'olam in this context means the dar v'dar, 70 years. Add time to my life. But there's a price to pay. You see, this is a very scary thing. There's no free lunch. Okay, I'm going to add time to your life. Where's it going to come from? We have to balance the budget. This is not America. You don't have make-believe money. In America, they claim that recently, after the whole scandal with all the banks, they claim that if you add up that there's approximately $3 trillion in the banks that don't exist. The banks will tell you how much money do you have in the bank. They'll give you a number. Add up all the major banks in this country, add up all and how much money they claim that they have on their balance books. Guess what? In the real world, $3 trillion of those dollars that they claim they have don't exist. And when people are going to start asking for, if there's going to be a run on the money, then $3 trillion is a very large number. It's a tremendous sakana. $3 trillion that don't exist. So like I say, a Ponzi scheme. How much do you have on your balance book? No, how much money is in the bank? Do you have depositors? How much? Oh, we have a $1 billion. Okay, give us all the money. Oh, we can't. We don't really have it. What do you mean? But yeah, it says that we have received money from our customers. They've deposited this money with us, but we took that money and we gave it away.
So $3 trillion is an outstanding loan. Theoretically, I don't know what
make believe money. When you loan, when you lend someone money, it's a very frightening thing. It's a very frightening thing that you got to talk to these economists who supposedly know what they're doing, okay? And $3 trillion. So it's a very scary thing. So how do we get into that? I don't know how I got into that. Lo'olam is helam. Okay, one last point I want to make over here. So every time you say this, that's how I got into this. What? I don't know. Probably everything's different. Now that's how do we get into this? How do we get into this? Because this is what's very frightening. When a person comes into this world, David HaMelech, you know, Hashem, Yom HaYimei Melech Tosef. David made this statement basically according to the Medrash when he was 3 hours old. Here I am, I'm 3 hours old, and I'm going to die now. So David says to Hashem, I'm supposed to be the Melech of Klal Yisrael. Yomim Al Yimei Melech Tosef. Shnoisav Kimo Dar V'dar. Okay, I'm going to give you a bonus. Oh, but that's going to come out of someone else's pocket.
Previous, it came out of his pocket.
What do you mean?
That
70
years was already.
Okay, so by Hashem, time, the yisoid over here is there's no such thing as make believe monopoly money. If I'm going to give you 70 years, it's got to come from somewhere. It doesn't. You don't just make up time. It's coming out of someone else's life.
Right.
Adam, any volunteers? Anyone want to volunteer time? It used to be the famous of Rav Tolly Trump? When someone was very, very sick and they went around in the yeshiva making a collection, not for money, not for dafim gemara, time. There's a person, a Talmud Chacham, that's about to die. Obviously in Shemayim, his time is up. Do you want to give up some of your life so he can live longer? How much time are you willing to give? So one guy says, I'll give him a week. I'll give him a month. I'll give a year. I'll give this. This they did this. They mom. I'll give up years of my life so that this person can get better, and I'll die prematurely. I'll give up. There's no such thing as make-believe. Make-believe. Everything in life, there's a balance book. Everything has to be balanced by the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not America. Everything has to be balanced. Everything is real. So, no, it's different. There's a different concept. It's different, giving up actual life. People were giving away. They went to the Chofetz Chaim. How much time do you want to give up? I said a couple of seconds. A couple of seconds I'll give up. So they said, you know, this guy gave a week, gave a year, gave this. He only can give a few seconds. So he told them, you don't value life. If you really valued life, you wouldn't be so quick to give up so much time. But what is the musa? What is the lesson? There's no such thing that is make-believe. Time comes from somewhere. When they walk in, the Rashiva walks in, they start saying, Yamim al yimei melech toisef. Who's paying for this? who's paying for this? Oh, you want to go give this God who walks in, Hashem should give him more life. Give him another 20 years. Okay, where's the 20 years coming from? How many years are you giving up? If you knew what you were saying, you wouldn't be singing the song, Rabbi. I ain't giving up nothing for him.
It's sort of along the lines, the way the Avraham Avinu translates Kilo Shalem Avonu Amoria.
Okay, now I just want to conclude one thing. This is a very frightening thing. It was a person I know got sick very young. And I told you this once. The family, what I'm telling you now is a contradiction to what it says over here. And the family rallied. Like, it's unreal what the family did in order to be ma'orer zuchus for this person. I can't even begin to describe all the different, every dimension, in tzedakah, and shmir salasha, and in musar, and you named Kabbalas, and tzedakah, and you name it, that this person should live. And he didn't, he died. He died like a regular natural progression. He died the way like al derech hateva. Nothing special. Nothing, no spike, no getting better. He just declined and he died. And the people in the family were very, very challenged. Because they really, I'll tell you some of the things that they did, and it's just not to be believed. It was a challenge, an amuna. Like, you know, we did everything that we can possibly do, and we didn't see anything. Nothing, like, no, oh, he got better for a year. You know, the doctor said 3 months, and he lived 10 years. No, it didn't happen like that. What the doctor said was going to happen is exactly what happened. And they were very depressed. So they went to Gedolim, and they mamash went to, it was a very big chashuva family, they went to Gedolim to ask them what's going on. And this is what they told me, because I'm partial mishpacha, and they told me something which, it's very hard to swallow, and it's mamash a steer to what it says over here in Rashi. And he said there are two types of situations where people, they get, young people, they leave this world at a very young age. There are times when a person was meant to live, let's say, 90 years. That was meant to be. That's on his ledger. And then, you know, because no one knows why, tzaddik v'raloi, no one knows why, it's impossible to understand, they get sick, and al derech hatav, they're going to die young, whatever the reason is. And then there are people that come into this world, and the tenai is, you're only meant to live 50 years, 40 years, 30 years. That's it. That's what you're here for. When people rally, and they me'oyer zuchus and shamayim, it works. This is what the Gedolim told them. If this person was meant to live 90 years, whatever, make believe, and then, for whatever the reason is, and no one will ever understand, Hashem decides, you know what, I want you to come to Shemaim now early. Something, we don't know why, Hashem says, I need you in Shemaim, I need you upstairs, even though you were meant to live 90 years. The door doesn't deserve you. I'm telling nonsense. So when the person was really meant to live 90 years, if Klal Yisrael will be mispalel and do teshuva, Hashem will do miracles, and the person will live, will get better with that. But if the person, when he came into this world, was only meant to live, you're here for a reason, and you're only here on your book, it says, this number of years, there's nothing you can do that's going to stop that from happening. You can be mispalel, and Hashem will take all those tefillos and put it away for other people. We all know that. No tefillah goes back empty-handed. If it's not going to work for this person, it'll work for somewhere else. But this person, I'm sorry. This Rashi says fakert. This Rashi says clear as day, if I was only meant to live and die as a bochur, Hashem, add days. If my book says a young age, add. Mamish fakert. So I'm just telling you this story. This is an authentic story. An authentic, so if you really want to, I can tell you the person, I can tell you the people, I can tell you all the details, because this is someone in my family through marriage, and I have all the details, and this is what gave some of them, it did work to give them a small mashu of nechama, as to after everything they did, nothing happened. Okay, obviously no one regrets all the chesed, the Torah, the tzedaka, but it's frustrating, obviously, it's very frustrating. And this gave them a certain nechama. It wasn't meant to be more than this amount of time. It wasn't like he was meant to live 100 years and, you know, no. This, that's mamish fakert from Rashi. Rashi says about David HaMelech, if it was only meant, it was meant to me to die as a bochur, yomim al yimei melech toisef. And give me new days, give me more, more, more. Okay, then it goes on to say, you know, then we have the medrash that says, yeah, who's going to pay for this? There's no make-believe time. Time is the greatest asset. If you're going to live longer, someone's going to have to live less.
It could be Tyson because there's somebody who, for some odd reason, lost me.
So you're trying to give an answer. You're trying to say...
Again, I banked it up, like, from Noah.
No one today can say, let this guy live long and take away years from someone else. Okay, these are Kabbalistic, very hecher and yanim, which we're not shaykh to. Okay, let's stop over here, take a short break, very short break, it's very late, we're going to have to be makatzer and chumash, Shabbos HaGadol, take a short break, and then we're going to do the parasha.